My name's Bobby Walker with Journey of a New Entrepreneur, and I've got one message for you.
Don't be a bitch!
What is going on, everybody? It's Bobby Walker here with Journey of a New Entrepreneur, the Journey of a New Entrepreneur podcast brought to you by ResponsiBid. If you don't know what ResponsiBid is, let me just make it real simple for you guys. I woke up this morning, I don't know, around 6 o'clock. I pulled out my phone like I always do. I looked at the screen. I had $2,455 in my system that I did not have when I went to bed last night. That is what ResponsiBid is. If you want to learn more about it, you can go to jnebid.com. That's J-N-E, like Journey of a New Entrepreneur, B-I-D, like ResponsiBid.com. Check it out. It sells itself. And remember, it's got a 10-to-1 ROI guarantee. If you sign up with ResponsiBid and you don't get a 10-to-1 ROI on your investment, you don't pay for ResponsiBid. Check it out, jnebid.com. Tell them Bobby sent you. They'll take really, really good care of you. Guys, I am so excited about this podcast today. I'm just kind of sitting here, just kind of riffing. I've been doing my thing. It's Monday morning. I just got back from ResponsiCon. I didn't go to ResponsiCon last week. I just got back from Washathon. There's too many a-thons out there and cons out there and stuff like that. But I just got back from Washathon, which me and a few of my friends, Sean Hodges, Aaron Parker, Jason Guyman, Cody Yarbrough, we put this event on, and it was awesome. We tried to sell 50 tickets. We got 49 of them sold, so almost sold out. We spent 2 days with these guys, and then I actually spent a little bit of a third day with a couple of them just kind of chilling before I drove back home. And we did a lot of cool stuff, but my mind is fried. I am just like, oh my gosh, I can't like take in any more content. I'm surprised I'm even trying to create some content right now just because of like my mental fatigue, but I couldn't wait. I couldn't stop. I've got some stuff on my mind. So I just want to say to everyone listening, a great big welcome to the NBZ, because I know there's no bitches that are listening to this show. This is the no bitch zone. And that's really what I want to talk about today. It's Monday. I don't have a guest for the show, so I guess this is a Mind Dump Monday episode. But I think it's something that I don't talk about too much on the podcast. I mean, clearly you guys know that the no bitch zone exists. You know that it's where you need to be living, but we really don't talk about it a whole lot. So before I get into it, I want to go down the definition path. First off, what is a bitch? It's probably not the way I use it and the way I define it. It's probably not the same that you probably did or have most of your life. But here's what a bitch is. A bitch is someone that blames other people for their lack of success. Or a bitch is someone that will not pursue their own goals. They will not pursue their own dreams. They won't be the captain of their own ship because of the fear of what might happen, or because of what other people might say, think, or do if they do it. Now, Bob, you can't run around calling people a bitch. You don't know what's up. You don't know what's down. Let me tell you guys, formerly, I was the king of bitches. Formerly, I was the guy that would not pursue his dreams because of fear of what might happen. And also because what other people might think of me. What if I quit my good job and they think I'm nuts and blah, 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 blah. And I was just full this past weekend in a room full of entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, people that just want to change their life. And some of those guys in there, absolutely not bitches. Some of them, definitely former bitches. And I think some of them are still a little uncertain of what they're going to choose to be. But that's why I can speak on this with authority, because I was one. And this is not a contest that I want to win, but I can promise you I was a bigger bitch than you were. And the only reason, if we're just being completely honest, the only reason I'm on the other side and that I now live in the NBZ is because someone else did it for me. I kind of got lucky. I lost my job. I always wanted to start a business. I thought I was going to start a business. I was planning on doing one on the weekends. And if I'm being completely honest with myself, I would not have been successful back then because I was too comfy with the job that I had and the income that I had and all that stuff. So the day that I got the phone call, you know, learning that I was losing my job, it was one of the most stressful and fearful phone calls that I've ever received. But in hindsight, probably the best phone call I've ever got because they pushed me out of the nest and said, you don't have any security here. And then instead of going back and finding another job, I just decided, you know what, I'm going to do this thing. And I think most of you guys know the story. The next day, I drove to Home Depot and spent $100-ish on some window cleaning supplies. And then you fast forward to, you know, less than 4 years later, about 3.5 years later. I just did this math a couple days ago because I was preparing for the preparation at Washathon. And I'm not like crazy excited about this number, but it's still cool, and I am proud of it. We've done almost $1.5 million spraying water on people's houses. And the cool thing is I use their water. That's even the best part. But guys, let me say that again. You know, I'm gonna round it down to make it feel a little cooler. In 3 years, I've made $1.5 million. It was like 1.4 something, 1.45 or something like that. $1.5 million that we've generated in revenue, top line revenue. That's not all in my pocket, of course. Spraying water on stuff. If you would have told me that was going to happen 3 years ago, I would have had a really hard time believing it. Not because I didn't think it was possible, but because I didn't know that I had it in me. If you would have told me that back then, I wouldn't have necessarily believed you. Now I'm living it. Am I getting rich today? Nah, I don't pay myself too much just yet. We keep putting it back in the business. We're growing. I don't want to be on the truck, so I pay other guys to do that. And I've got someone that runs the sales appointments. And I spend a lot of time in the office here working on metrics and tracking KPIs and trying to go after big fish. And I also spend a little time at cigar bars hanging out and having fun and going to Disney World and doing stuff like that. I actually just got back from a cigar bar. I just bought a course that I'm going through is unrelated to our industry. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to step out of the office and I'm going to go do this. I just dropped $1,000 on a handful of podcasts, basically, you know, and just spent some time at the cigar bar and listening to this and trying to, you know, change my mind and mentality. And it kind of got me fired up. So I came back to the office. So I'm sitting here at the TRT Studios here in Orlando, Florida, just a couple minutes from Universal. And now I'm sharing my thoughts with you guys. So we've established what a bitch is and I guess we could establish what a bitch isn't. So here's the bottom line. A bitch is someone that's pursuing their goals and their dreams, and they don't give two shits what anyone else thinks about it, and they don't give two shits about their own fear. They're brave. And friends, I want to tell you, if you haven't had bravery, you can. For those of you that are brave and you're out there doing it, props to you. I'm lifting up my Coke or my cup of Diet Coke right now. I'm going to take a quick sig. Cheers to you for being brave. But if you think you don't have it in you, let me tell you guys, being brave, it's not a lack of fear. It's just doing it when you're scared. And that's just what my life's been for the last few years, is just doing it in the face of fear. And now here I am, and I'm really, really enjoying this journey that I've been on. I still don't pay myself as much as I used to make, but holy crap, is my stress level down? Is my satisfaction high? My quality of life, I've just got to admit, is perfect. There's things I want to achieve that I haven't yet, but that doesn't mean my quality of life's not there. The reason the quality of life's there is because I'm doing the things that I want. I'm pursuing the things that I want. So, why do I want to talk about this today? The truth is, I see it all the time, and I start out having like compassion towards people that are bitches. You know, I have compassion because I've been there and I've done that. And then it really just kind of turns into some frustration because I remember Dave Ramsey, he has this little illustration he uses, and I'm not going to do it as good as him, but he says that people that stay in their current circumstances when they're not good, they're like a baby that doesn't want their diaper changed. It's like, yeah, my diaper's full, but it's warm and it's mine. I'm just going to sit right here and you know, live that life. I had a guy message me online today. It is on one of my YouTube videos. And I was talking about the recap of ResponsiCon. Or, gosh dang, I keep saying ResponsiCon. The recap of Washathon. And I was driving home yesterday from Atlanta, Georgia, down here to Orlando. I drove back because I bought a truck while I was up there, another truck for the company. And I'm driving home, and I put the phone up on the dash, and I was doing a little live video to recap the event. It actually got cut off just because my phone overheated from the sun beating down on it. But I was just, you know, just talking. I was bored. I was in, you know, standstill traffic. And someone commented on the video today. And they said, in the meantime, I'm battling all these guys that are willing to clean a driveway for $99. Well, if you know me, you know, all of a sudden my bitch meter just started going beep, beep, beep. Or I guess more appropriately, bitch, bitch, bitch. It just started going off. It just, you know, the bells are ringing, lights are spinning, you know, it was just driving me nuts. And my response to this person was, it's your fault if the $99 guy is your competition. Now, for those of you that aren't in the industry that I'm in, the quote-unquote $99 guy, it's the guy that'll go do a job for 99 bucks when, you know, the alleged professional would do it, say, for 400 or 800 or something like that. And everyone likes to rag on them because they think, well, if I talk bad about the $99 guy, you know, I look better. And everyone always complains and says, man, you just can't get ahead. You know, I can't get these good ticket prices and these people that have gone before me, whether it's a Josh Latimer or a Pat Clark or a Brandon Vaughn or a Ray Burke or a whoever it may be. Well, I can't do it. You don't understand, because here it's different. And I got these $99 guys that are ruining my market. And I said to this guy, I said, well, if the $99 guy is your competition, that's your fault. And then, of course, you know, now we got the little internet thing going on here. And his response was, I'm not choosing to be their competition. They're just propping up everywhere. There's probably 20 new ones here in my town in the last month, which he's full of shit. There's not 20 new ones in the last month, but it is what it is. I mean, there could be, but I'd bet money that there's not. Only a dollar. I'd only bet a dollar just in case, just to play it safe. And then my final response, this is where it ended. As I said, does Tiffany's get upset about what Dollar Tree is charging for their merchandise? Because Tiffany's can't control if Dollar Tree pops up, right? They can't control that if there's one Tiffany's in a city and there's 50 Dollar Trees, they don't sit there and say, man, no one's willing to buy my overpriced stuff or my fancy stuff. Because other people, Dollar Tree, they're out there selling the paperclip for, you know, you can get a 100 of them for 99 cents. Where Tiffany's, they'll sell the golden plated paperclip for $1,000. I think that's true. I think I remember seeing that somewhere. A paperclip for like $1,000. They don't cry about it. They don't complain about it. Now, guys, listen. Before we get too far into this, this really isn't a price conversation. This is a life conversation. This is a mentality conversation. This is a mentality of champions and a mentality of winners conversation. See, Tiffany's, they sell worthless stuff at a premium. They take like stuff that really doesn't have a value, and they convince us to spend something that has a great deal of value on it, our hard-earned money. Yet my industry is full of bitches. Now, I've said that a lot, and I've probably had about 6 people promise me that they're going to whoop my ass the next time they see me at a convention because they don't like it. But even if I earn myself a half a dozen ass whoopings, I'm not going to stop saying it. And here's why. It's not because I want to insult someone. It's not because, well, I don't know. It is kind of fun, I guess, maybe. And maybe it's a little fun. I don't know. But it's not because I want to insult someone. It's because I climbed the fence. I climbed the wall. I jumped at the swimming pool over there. Oh, my gosh. The water feels amazing. And I'm just throwing a rope over that wall saying, man, the water is awesome. Come on in, guys. Stop being a bitch. Get over here to the no bitch zone. This is where it's awesome because, you know, I lose jobs all the time to the people that do that driveway for $99 or that house or that whatever service for far less than I would do it. But I'm cool with that. I don't get mad at that quote unquote $99 guy. You know who I get upset with when I don't get a job because someone else did it cheaper? I get upset at me. Not because I wasn't good enough at selling, because sometimes you just can't sell something. You know, Grant Cardone doesn't close 100% of his deals. I get upset at me because I know that everything is my fault. If I went and quoted a job and that person chose the chuck in a truck, the guy that doesn't have insurance and the guy that, you know, doesn't look presentable and they don't really care about anything other than I've just got to pay the minimum price, I'm mad at me because I was foolish enough in my marketing to get one of those price shoppers to call me. The price shopper is not the problem. I'm a price shopper. You're a price shopper. You know, these guys that bitch about the $99 guy are also the people that want to find the cheapest supplier for the exact same things. We all are price sensitive to some things. So I get mad at myself because I didn't do a good job marketing and I failed by making the phone ring from someone that called me that's price sensitive. So you have a bitch that says that $99 guy's ruining it. And then you got someone that's got extreme ownership, and I'm going to tell you, I do, that says, that's my fault for letting that person call me in the first place. They shouldn't have even had my phone number. If the $99 guy is keeping your business from growing, all you are is an overpriced $99 guy. I'm going to say that again. Now listen to this. Listen to this and dissect it. If that $99 guy, now it doesn't matter what industry you're in. If you're in real estate, it could be the 4% commission person instead of the 6% commission person. You know, it could be whatever. If you're the HVAC company, it could be the $1,000 guy instead of the $3,000 guy. I don't know. But if the $99 guy is keeping your business from growing, you're just an overpriced $99 guy. If Dollar Tree keeps Tiffany's from growing, Tiffany's just providing the exact same value, but it's really, really overpriced. Or it's a slightly better value, but it's just really, really overpriced. But what have they done? At worst, they've created perceived value. The customer has perceived that that product is better, therefore they're willing to pay for it. So when the $99 guy is taking your money, you've either failed at getting the right person to call you, or you failed at giving that customer perceived value. Because that's really all we can give them is perceived value before we do the job, right? It doesn't matter if it's true. It doesn't matter if it's accurate. But until you actually do the job, perception is the only thing that matters. So in that scenario, what have you done to make yourself have a higher level of perceived value? When you answer the phone, do you say, Bob's pressure washing, how can I help you? This is Bob, talk. Or do you say something that's like, this is Bobby with TRT Pressure Washing and Window Cleaning. How can I help you? How much time have you spent on your inbound phone script? Do you have a script? I've got one. I've got a flowchart. The first day that I hire an admin, almost the only thing we do is practice on that phone script. And they have a flowchart they print out, and it goes right on their desk. And they know what to say, how to say it. They know the facial expressions they need to say while they're on the phone. And when a customer says X, Y, and Z, they know where to go with it at that point. Because we were very purposeful. I wasn't a bitch. I didn't blame someone else for, well, it's just hard to get someone to book an appointment, or it's just hard to get people to give you their email, or it's just hard to get Google reviews or whatever. We've decided to be very purposeful, to take 100% of the responsibility and do what I have to do to break through the bitch barrier and move into the no bitch zone. I think I may have already broken the record for the most times the word bitch is said on a podcast. I hope you guys aren't playing the drinking game with that word. I'm going to try to tone that down just a little bit here. I could replace that word with another one, which would be victim. You know, the no bitch zone is really just the no victim zone. Everything is my fault. To quote Jocko Willink, excuses are lies. No one will pay this price. That's a lie. No one will work in my area for what I can pay. I can't find good people. That's partially true. You can't find good people, but that's still a lie. I can't get people that'll take care of my stuff. I've had a significant amount, personally, of maintenance issues in my company. And I could sit there and say, God dang it, my guys won't respect my stuff. It's their fault. As soon as you hire people, it all goes to shit. That's a lie. You know what the truth was? The truth was, once I got tired of spending all that money on repairs, and I spent half of a day putting some systems in place to prevent that with preventative maintenance, and then I managed it on a weekly basis, guess what happened? My expenses went down. I feel a little guilty recording this podcast right now because I really know that I'm preaching to the choir. I know that those of you that are listening to me right now, I know all you're doing is saying amen. Amen, Bob. I got it. But let me just ask or challenge maybe that one person that's listening to this. When things happen, when things that you don't like happen in your business, whose fault is it? Now, I know the answer that you want to give me is, well, it's my fault because, you know, that's what I'm expecting. But no, seriously, when something goes south, the person doesn't accept the quote, the thing broke and we couldn't get it done today. You know, fill in the blank. Where does your mind go with that? Does it go to, gosh, dang it, he didn't do X? As soon as you start saying he, them, they, that person, that's when you know that you have a fundamental internal problem on being able to grow your business. And let's just go a step further and really talk about the truth. Being able to make the statement that I made earlier, which is my level of, I'm drawing a blank here, my quality of life is at 100%. Whenever I start saying they, them, he, that person, that's when my quality of life gets worse. Because if it's someone else's fault, I can't fix it. Bob, you don't understand. I live in an area that only has 100 people in it. I couldn't grow a business. There's not enough people here. Yeah, that's your fault. I can't make people move here. Well, maybe you could, actually. There's probably a way to make that happen. But you can move somewhere else. I did. I shouldn't have to move somewhere to start a business. Well, you shouldn't have to move somewhere. But maybe you should to achieve your goals. I'm reminded of a scene from one of my favorite TV shows. It's on HBO. It's called Silicon Valley. It's hilarious. It's awesome. entrepreneurs should be able to really relate to it. And these guys are having a real hard time. They broke some rules and they broke an integrity issue, and now no one wants to invest in their company, but they had this really good product. So they kind of like almost kidnapped this guy in a car, made him think it was his Uber, and they really kidnapped him. And they're trying to pitch him their product while they're in the car driving down. And the guy's like, listen, no one's going to talk to you because of this thing you did. But if you'll achieve this super, he was like, get 1 million users and now everyone's going to be knocking on your door and try to give you their money. And they were like, but listen, you don't understand. No one will talk to us because of X. And his response, he got like a whiny crybaby voice. I think he even did the little crybaby hand movement near his eyes. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. Is it hard becoming a billionaire? That stuck with me to this day. And I want to say the same thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it hard achieving your goals? Is it hard earning an income and building a business that's going to give you the time and the money to do the things that you want with your friends and your loved one? A loved one. Hopefully you have more than one. Your loved ones. It is hard. It's why most people don't do it. It's hard getting good employees. It takes work. You got to put systems in place, and then you have to work the systems. I told a group of guys over the weekend that whenever I do an interview for a technician, it's a 1 hour interview. I saw five people, their eyes got as big as like silver dollars. They were like, what? Every time I tell someone when I do an interview for a technician, it's a 1 hour interview, people think I'm nuts. And I've hired some bad guys, don't get me wrong, but you know what? My guys are freaking awesome. While I was at Washathon last week, you know, I left on Wednesday. I left on Thursday, got back on Sunday. So on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, my company averaged over $3,000 a day. I'm not getting rich, but you know, we're a little company, but we averaged over $3,000 a day in work, and I'm out of town. It got done. Customers paying invoices. I'm getting Google reviews. We just got up to 533 Google reviews. My names aren't mentioned in those things. I got employees that are earning that, employees that are wowing my customers. I've got employees that are taking care of stuff. You know why? Because I did the hard things. And I didn't blame those damn millennials that aren't willing to work. I said, it's my fault if I have an employee that doesn't have my vision. Talking about references of TV shows and movies, Steve Jobs, I just watched that Ashton Kutcher version of that Steve Jobs movie. I actually like it a lot. It's got terrible reviews, but I think entrepreneurs can kind of enjoy it a little bit. I can look past some of the bad acting and stuff, but it's an inspirational story. And Steve walks into a meeting when they're trying to develop the Lisa computer back in the early 80s. And he walks in and he's, you know, kind of looking at the whiteboard and what his team's been working on the past week. And he says, all right, now which one of these menus do I click on to get type fonts, different fonts, a font, a style of a letter? Everyone got silent, and he goes, I've been asking for fonts for months, and I still don't have them. He's pissed. And one guy speaks up, and he goes, Steve, every time you do a font, it takes all this time, and blah, 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 and we're still trying to do X. He goes, it's really not a pressing issue. Now, of course, this is Ashton, you know, acting as Steve, but Steve turns around, he like tightens his mouth, and he takes his finger and puts it up by his head, pointing at the guy, and he says, everything is a pressing issue. And then the guy, popped off something back, and Steve says, get your stuff and get out of here. He kind of starts, saying something to him. The guy goes, what, are you going to fire me? And he goes, no, I already fired you. Why is your ass still here? Get out of here. So the guy grabs his book, he leaves, and the head of that project looked at Steve and he said, Steve, you just fired our number one, whatever he was, coder or whatever he was. And Steve said, you just fired our best coder. And he goes, no, I just fired the best coder that doesn't buy in to our vision. And that man went on to change the world. Steve didn't say, you just can't get good people. he fired the most talented guy on the team because he didn't buy into the vision. So when I'm hiring people, you know, I put a lot of work into my systems that actually save me time now, but it was really hard to do before. I paid $500 for a course to teach me how to hire people, which seemed like a lot of money at the time. Now it's like, honestly, that's worth $10,000 if you think about it, and the money it saves you hiring good people. But millennials don't suck. Generation Z doesn't suck. Young people suck. You sucked when you were young. But there's also some phenomenal people out there, just like my son who's 21 and he's a badass. They exist. It's your job to go find them. You know what? I'm just going to keep ranting. I keep thinking, Bob, you need to turn this into something and turn the corner here. But just go with me, guys. Let me tell you something cool. I'm going to pick on this guy. I don't even know who you are because, you know, your screen name is not your real name. This guy that sent me this message on YouTube made the comment. Don't be mean to him. If you guys go see the comment, don't be a jerk to him or anything. But, you know, the $99 guy thing. Let me tell you something that was cool. So Washathon. It's an event with five dudes that put it on, me and the other four guys that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, good buddies of mine. We put this event on. We charge $1,000 to come. $1,000. We might be raising the price at the next one. By the way, the next one is February 26th. You know, this upcoming year, 2021, February 26th, here in Orlando. It's going to be awesome. You can go hang out with me at Disney Springs at night. It'll be cool. Charge $1,000 for it. Before we had Washathon, the most expensive, like, convention or anything like that that I had ever seen, I think was like $280. And people want to bitch and moan and groan about that. The huge convention, which is actually a really, really good event. I don't think I'm going to be allowed to speak there anymore because I'm speaking at other events, and I don't think they're going to let me speak there. But it's still a good event. You should still go, and if I'm allowed, I'm going to buy a ticket and go hang out myself as well next year. But they charge $99 for a ticket, and I see people, they're like, I'm not going to something I got to pay for. I've seen other conventions that are free, and they can't get 200 people to go. And we charge $1,000, and we got, you know, 49 people to show up. But it attracted a different kind of person. And at this Washathon, you know, it was two cram-packed days of information. We did a lot of question and answers. We also did a panel Q&A at the end of it. We did all these awesome things. And if we weren't doing the sessions during the day, all of the instructors, we make sure to make ourselves available. So we're hanging out in the hotel lobby, and we're going out to dinner with you, and then we're going back to the hotel bar, and we're just hanging out. I'm kind of the old man. I usually go to bed around 10 or 11, but some of the other instructors are up in like up till 2 a.m. But you know what we never heard? Because we had all kinds of questions from people. And I think we even had some silly questions. People that are, you know, concerned about things that are not real important, but they don't know. That's why they're there. They're asking. They're learning. But I didn't hear one guy ask about the $99 guy. Not one. Let me tell you why. Because while you might be here listening to this podcast and saying, there's no way I'd pay $1,000 to go to an event. Not that kind of event. Those guys that did Washathon, they're taking advantage of people charging $1,000. It's just pressure washing. When you're sitting there thinking that, the guys that came to the event, they said, it's so important to me to be successful at my business that I'm going to make a real investment to go to learn from guys that are experts in their field. And I'm going to find a way to be the captain of my own ship. So guess what they're not worried about? They're not worried about Dollar Tree. They don't care about Dollar Tree. They're trying to build a Tiffany's. So there's different kinds of people out there. There's people that blame others for their lack of success. And then there's people that say, everything's my fault. And here's the thing. Some stuff, it's just out of your control. You know, some things are just out of your control. You couldn't have changed it if you tried. But your mentality has to be, the situation I'm in right now is my fault. Because here's the thing. It's only your responsibility to get out of that hole. If something bad happened to you that you don't control, it doesn't make you a bad person. You know, you were a victim, for real. You really were a victim. I've been a victim before. But a victim's mentality is only going to lead you down a path of failure, a path that is not 100% quality of life. That Jocko extreme ownership mentality, that's the one where you can say, you know what? I'm not doing everything I'd really like to do right now. You know, I'd really like to be down in Key West at Sloppy Joe's drinking a margarita, listening to a guitar player, which my buddy Aaron Parker, who is one of the instructors, he's actually played there before. He used to be in the music industry. It's pretty cool. I'd rather be at Sloppy Joe's drinking a margarita right now. I'm not doing that, but I'm pursuing it. And that's fulfilling. Do I have anything else I want to share? I don't know. I'm a very grateful person for what I have. This podcast, one of my favorite things I've ever done in my life. You know, I make money doing it now. You know, that Responsibid thing that, you know, I always talk about at the beginning? I make money doing that. If you go sign up with Responsibid, I get a paycheck. But I started this podcast. I didn't start it to make money, you know? I just started it because I wanted to do a podcast. It was a bucket list item. I actually wanted to start a podcast over 10 years ago. And I was going to call it The Bucket Cast. And actually, it's kind of funny. It was kind of similar to this. I was just going to interview people that were, like, doing things that were on their bucket list. I just kind of wanted to, like, you know, just see what that was like. And I got scared, and I never started it. And then, you know, my life started changing in the last few years. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to start that podcast. And if the only two people that listen to it are my mom and myself, I'm okay with that. And then some of you guys started listening. You guys reach out. You guys encourage me. And I'm like, that's cool. And then guess what? Start making a little money with it. And it's cool. And I make no apologies for that. I'm going to pitch Responsibid on every podcast that I do till they stop paying me for it. So pay attention, Kurt. On that note, I do have a new sponsor for my YouTube channel. It's Sin Gym, which I've been using Sin Gym since I think my second month in business. You guys can get in on that good deal too. If you have not tried Sin Gym or Automate Motivate yet, you can try it for 2 months for $3 because they're a sponsor of my show. If you go sign up on their website, it's $100 a month. You get 2 months for $3. And you also get a discounted rate going forward on that. Go to jnegym.com, jnejim.com. It's awesome. Check it out. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you guys. I love the encouragement. I hate that I've disappointed you guys and not got enough of these out consistently, but I do appreciate when you guys reach out to me and be like, hey, man, we want another show. So here we are. I've got three podcasts lined up right now, so we got some good stuff coming for you guys. We got Ray Notario. He's going to be on it. Mike Olin. You may not know those guys. You may, but they're awesome. They're young bucks that have started their businesses, pursuing their goals. Those are going to be two really, really fun episodes. Guys, I want to ask you to do a couple things. Actually, let me give you a freebie here. Let me tell you guys something cool. At the time of this podcast, now if you listen to this in a week, you know, it's probably going to be too late, but we're actually on my YouTube channel giving away a year of Responsibid. You get it. If you already have Responsibid, a lot of you guys already have it. go to my YouTube channel. There's a video in there talking about giving away a free year of ResponsiBid. You just got to sign up for it. Put your name and phone number in there. We're going to be giving that away in about a week. You just got to be a YouTube channel subscriber and enter that contest. And then after we give away ResponsiBid, Cody at Southeast Softwash has donated a $4,200 softwash skid. And we're going to be giving that away on the YouTube channel as well. So just make sure you're a subscriber, because that skid giveaway is going to start probably, well, I'm going to say in less than 2 weeks. So it's good stuff. Guys, thank you for listening. I really, really appreciate everything. If you want to know more about the things that I offer, it's kind of campy looking right now. I'm going to get it improved here in the future, but you can go to nobitchzone.com, see everything that I do, get info on the YouTube channel, the podcast, the course that I sell, the New Entrepreneurs Toolkit, all that good stuff. It's all in there, nobitchzone.com. Go check it out. Nothing but love. If you get this post, if you see this podcast and it's posted on Facebook or something, put a little comment on there. Let me know if you're not a bitch, you live in the MBZ, or let me know if you think I'm a bitch for calling everyone a bitch. Let me know. Love me or hate me, I'm fine, but if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Guys, thanks for listening. This is the Journey of a New Entrepreneur podcast. And remember, if you're not doing the things that you want in life, you better have a damn good reason for it. But if you're not pursuing those things, there's no good reason for it. Peace out. Don't be a